Hey everyone, welcome in to another daily editorial here on the KE Report. In this daily editorial, we are chatting again with Dr. Jim Jones, private investor and fairly well known on our website. You can also find Doc Jones on CEO.ca as well as a couple other sites sharing his research and thoughts on different commodity sectors as well as driving down into the companies. Now, Doc Jones, when we were chatting with you at the tail end of last year, you had outlined how much or how encouraged you were by the energy sector, what you were looking forward to this year and why you thought that energy was a good investment. We're actually going to get into a new recommendation that you have just made, a new company that you like. However, first and foremost, just give us a quick little overview of why, again, you like the energy sector so much leading into this year.
Hi, Corey Shad. Thanks for having me back. On a macro level, we're in an energy crisis right now. You're seeing record prices for natural gas around the world, as well as oil shortages. The demand ending the fourth quarter of 2021 exceeded global supply of oil by about a million barrels a day. We're in a deficit right now. You have OPEC spare capacity getting below 2 million barrels a day, which means that any incremental demand that comes out of coming out of COVID, for example, for jet fuel, which has been suppressed, for gasoline, which has been suppressed, and also for the non-transportation sector, that incremental demand, those barrels won't be there to meet it. They're being met currently by storage, but not by production. So the only way to satisfy demand is to destroy it if you don't have the supply, which means higher prices. As well, in North America, we have the war against fossil fuels, where the United States has their moratorium basically on federal lands for drilling. You have Quebec that has a moratorium on all drilling for oil and gas there. So the supply is not going to be there. So it's a really positive pricing environment. Because of that, you look at the United States, Biden tried to bring prices down by releasing oil from the Strategic Petroleum Reserve of 50 million barrels, which is 12 hours demand globally. So it really does nothing, right? So it's a really good environment. And also you're looking at this transition to green is now people are becoming aware of science, that it's going to take longer than anyone expected, than anyone planned, and oil will be with us for another 3, 4, 5 decades. So it's a really, really positive environment. Plus, you have global depletion. It runs 6-7 million barrels a day every year depletes. So you have to find, develop 6 million barrels a day just to keep supply flat. So that's the environment we're in.
Well, Doc Jones, just one quick question just to maybe push back on the thesis, and that is if we saw a slowdown in the economy or if we saw, you know, the brakes get hit because of anything from geopolitics to, you know, possibly a stock market rout with all these different things in the air, do you think that could stop some of the demand side from the oil and cause a correction in it? Or do you think that it would still weather through that pretty well?
I think we'll get some volatility in the oil price, but the path is definitely higher. OPEC has done a really good job at managing supply through COVID, as well as they also are just reaching their own limits of being able to supply the market. Like there's an article out there about Russia's production peaking in 2023. They're currently unable to fulfill their own quota for production. You also have like Mexico, which is pretty much in terminal decline. Several places, OPEC members are unable to fulfill the quota that they were given to raise their own production. So it's a very positive environment for that. Plus, I think we're coming out of COVID. This will be the last time we see these kind of lockdowns. And once you get the incremental demand from the transportation sector, including jet fuel, it's going to push us to 102, 103 million barrels a day. Plus, demand is growing. The EIA came out with their own report saying that in 2022, it'll probably be the highest demand ever for oil. So it's a very positive environment for that. And at these prices, producers have gotten really lean and mean. They're producing, their break-even costs are, a lot of them, around $20, $25 a barrel. Plus, they have all their hedges rolling off, some of them. So yeah, will the price go up like a hockey stick? No, there'll be corrections along the way, but you're already seeing it in today where the market's down 300-400 points and oil's the best performing commodity, outperforming gold, silver, copper, you know. So it's structurally deficits and they will continue for years and years and years. So I think any weakness should be bought.
All right, let's look into the company then that you recently recommended and highlighted in some of your articles. Company is Petrus Resources, traded on the TSX under the symbol PRQ. The company is focused and has some development assets in Alberta, a handful of these different assets. Doc Jones, give us a little overview. What caught your eye initially about Petrus Resources?
Well, Petrus used to be a larger company years ago, but with the crash in oil prices, they were struggling under a lot of debt, which was resolved last year when the Gray family came in and injected about $30 million into the company by buying the debt and then converting it into equity. So the balance sheet has been considerably cleaned up. And their production profile is going to grow by about 50% this year. And then all by year end exit production rate is going to almost double from this year. And where they're located in the Ferrier, in the Cardium play, the IRRs there are tremendous. They have 70,000 acres in the core area where at current prices, their IRRs are above 300, 350%. So it's a low-cost operator. And because they've already spent all the capital on building the infrastructure, they own their own processing plant and pipeline, and it had been underutilized for the last few years. So right now they're producing around 5,000-6,000 barrels a day. By year end, they're going to be around 9,000. So they don't have to build the infrastructure. It's already there. So as they increase their production, each incremental barrel drives down the cost of every barrel because the cost, your fixed cost gets spread over more barrels, as well as back in the day, they signed a fixed takeaway contract for about 10,000 barrels a day, which was being underutilized. So the transportation cost per barrel was high. And as they add each barrel, that cost comes down, which means that they can almost basically double in size without spending much CapEx other than the drilling, which is a big deal. And also, their product will get to market without having to worry about not having pipeline capacity for that. So the company could essentially double from here with very little spending. Another thing I really liked about the company is their hedging schedule. All their hedges roll off at the end of this quarter. So they will be completely open, basically, which means they will be capturing the full price, spot price, which is like 80% higher than the hedges that they had. So that's going to tremendously increase cash flow. So currently you have a company that's got a market cap about 120 million Canadian, has 60 million in debt in Canadian dollars. And this year they're going to produce, you know, cash flow of about 70 million. 20 million of that will be sustaining capital. Then the other 40 million will go to growth and repayment of debt. Currently on the path they are, they will be debt free by mid 2023, and production will grow by the end of 2023 to about 12,000 barrels a day, and they'll be generating over 100 million in cash flow, which is equal to their current market cap. Plus they will be debt free. They're shrinking their enterprise value as they repay the debt. I spoke to the CEO today. We had a nice conversation for about an hour. And all these things, when you add them up and you do the economics, they're driving down the cost per barrel as they fill up their facilities. They don't have to spend capital to build a treatment plant or anything. They already own it. And they have 70,000 acres in this core area with over 200 drilling locations, which works out to like a 20-year inventory of drilling. And the IRRs there are the second highest in Canada. So it's a really great story for that. And it's under-owned, unknown, and they're just coming out of a very dark period for the company that lasted for the last 5-6 years. Other companies in Canada have already repriced to, you know, 4 to 6 times cash flow, where this company is trading at this year's cash flow, 2 times, 2023 cash flow, trading at like a third. So the upside from here in the near term is probably a double in the next year and 3 to 4 times in the next 2 years. You know, it's not as exciting as a drill play in the mining sector, where a company could go up 5-10x in a relatively short amount of time. But what I'm looking for to complement my portfolio is something that is very steady, that has low risk, and will just incrementally keep adding value throughout this prolonged cycle of high prices for hydrocarbons. So that's what attracted me to it. And the fact that the Gray family, which is a well-known oil family in Canada, they put up $30 million to get the capital structure cleaned up. So they have an invested interest in maintaining a tight share structure, which fully diluted, there's 100 million shares out, 94 million undiluted. So there isn't an overhang of warrants or options or anything like that. So that's what attracted it to me. It just seems like the right timing for it all. Then they have another property, the North Ferrier, which is 20,000 acres, where they've just participated in a well there earlier this year with another company where they have 17% working interest. That well, the IP30, is about 1,100 barrels per day. They just drilled their own well, 100% working interest, and the CEO said it's the best well they've ever drilled in their history. They haven't released the data yet. They're going to. But to me, that says it's got to be at least, 1,200 BOEs a day. So it's sounds like, they've got a lot of runway to grow this company without spending a lot of capital. They can double in size without spending a lot of capital other than drilling. And then beyond that, they have a deep inventory to grow this company to 20, 30,000 barrels a day within the next, 4 or 5 years. And within the macro and the Canadian oil patch, there's consolidation that's happening, and that's what's going to happen. So I imagine this company, because they own the infrastructure, like the infrastructure itself is worth about $70 million, right? That someone will either buy this out or they will grow in size and scale and either become at some point a dividend payer or, it's just a really good story, fundamentally when you dig into the economics on it. So that's what attracted me to it.
Well, Dr. Jones, I love how thorough you are when you do your research. There was a couple of questions I had, and you answered all of them about the debt and if they were hedging. And it sounds like it's a margin expansion play, so you like the multiples on that. Just one last thing before we wrap up, though, and that is, do you see any exploration upside for the company? I mean, I know it's not a drill play. You've got production coming off this, but do you think they'll be drilling any new wells, or what's your outlook there on the exploration side of the company?
Yeah. Like they're adding wells. Like they plan to grow production from, this year. I think they ended the year probably around 6,000 barrels a day, and they're going to grow to around 7,500 on average for this year, ending this year around 9,500 barrels a day. So in the Ferrier, that's their core area. It's pretty predictable. It's like a manufacturing process, like it's a very liquid rich play. And the thing there, actually, it's C5 pricing. So if you look at the price of C5, it's actually trades at a premium to WTI. So WTI today is like, whatever, 84, 85. C5 is like 86 a barrel. So that's really great. So, but as far as the exploration, the Ferrier North, where they just drilled that first 100% working interest well, that's really interesting because it's apparently the best well they've ever drilled from an initial production standpoint, So that gives them a lot of upside later on. They're going to focus on the Ferrier area because they have the infrastructure there already, right? So, yeah, there is that. There definitely is that. And they have a couple other properties, but they're not like their core. So I don't really focus on them. That is producing around 1,500 barrels a day. Those just produce really steady cash flow. This, in essence, it's a re-rate to a peer evaluation, which gets you close to a double. And then it's a re-rate on the incremental increase in cash flow over the next year, 2 years, which, and as they grow in size, then you get a better multiple as well. And I really love how the oil sector itself in the last few years has cleaned itself up from a balance sheet point of view. The Canadian companies, as opposed to the US ones, which carry a tremendous amount of debt, the Canadian companies are all becoming virtually debt free, and they're maintaining that, and they're being very disciplined with their cash flow. So the thing about this too that I really like is the IRRs are tremendous, and it's resilient in a much lower commodity price. Just by the very nature, if you look at prior to them doing their debt restructuring, they had like $100 million in debt. The company didn't dilute the hell out of itself. It maintained its capital structure, paid its debt and all that, even as it shrunk from 12,000 barrels a day to 4,000 barrels a day during the downturn from 2016 to COVID. So it's very resilient assets that will produce and do produce a tremendous amount of cash flow. So it's, oil and gas, in a sense, it's very boring in the lines of you don't get tremendous amounts of news flow. They just drill the well and then they add production. You get your quarterly reports, but they just chug along and they build value, which is what I really like about it. Because it's, I call it a manufacturing process, it's very low risk compared to a pure exploration play. Like there's one I'm involved with offshore Guyana, which, that is either they're going to hit and 500 million to a billion barrels or not. And so the volatility in that stock will be very high based on that. So this is a nice complement to my other investments. And being in Canada, it's a low-cost structure because you have the arbitrage between the U.S. and the Canadian dollar. Your fixed costs are and their debt, especially, is in Canadian dollars. And you're getting paid in U.S. dollars, which is, very strong. Like in Canadian dollar terms, they're getting over $100 a barrel, right? So, yeah.
All right, Doc Jones, nice intro into this company. We will follow up with the company, and I'm sure we'll be having you back on the show to follow along with any developments and as the company continues to grow and seems to de-risk itself in many different ways. Doc Jones, great chatting with you. As always, we'll chat again in the near term. Thank you very much for sharing this new energy recommendation.
Yeah, my pleasure, Corey. And the only thing I would add is everyone who's listening, please do your own due diligence. Check everything that I've said. Don't take anything at gossipable because you just hear it from me. The data's out there. Please check it.